Okay, with that, then I'll call the meeting of Monday, October 24th, in order. And Stephanie, could you please call the roll?
Yes, I will. Chairman Christensen?
Here.
Commissioner Bull?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Here.
Commissioner Fisher? Commissioner Jensen?
Here.
Commissioner Stanger?
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Okay. I remember Commissioner Fisher and Commissioner Tuttle did tell us last meeting that they would not be here. Our excuse. With that, we move to the next item is commission comments by citizens, and we have nobody here tonight, so we have no comments. Next item is the minutes from October 10th. Commissioners?
Mr. Christensen, I will have to abstain. I was sent here last week, last time.
Okay. How about the rest of us, everybody in here? We got four.
I'll move for approval.
Okay, Commissioner Bull makes a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Jensen. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 4-0. I'll sign those tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you want me to get you your own copy to take with you?
No, this is fine.
Okay. Okay.
Next item on the agenda is the public hearing. So with that, I will open the public hearing, continued from October 10th. CA 2016-04, low impact development and otherness is in this code amendment. And Brad is the agenda on that. Brad, yeah.
Thank you. This is a continuation of the public hearing that you held at your last meeting. You closed the public testimony portion of the public hearing because there was no public testimony. The SEPA appeal period has expired and the SEPA comment period has expired. We received no comments and no appeals. I don't remember if we told you this last time, the Department of Commerce has granted this expedited review, so there was no state agency comments regarding this amendments. And so now is the time for you to deliberate on them. And if you feel so inclined, there is a findings of fact and conclusions attached to your packet, along with a proposed motion for you to recommend approval of these amendments to the City Council.
Okay, thank you, Brad. With that, commissioners, is there any discussion relating to the staff report and recommendation? Personally, I don't see any issues with with this as presented, so I'm willing to go with the staff recommendation personally. Commissioner Jensen?
Likewise, I know you kind of held it over in case something came in. I take it, as you say, nothing came in, no other public, nobody sent any emails or anything like that. With that, I would like to make a motion that we approve.
First.
Not yet?
Need to close the public hearing.
Right, you got to close it, sir. Never mind.
We're not in discussion, see? So we got your feelings on it. Commissioner Stanger?
Nothing more to add.
Nothing more to add? Okay. Commissioner?
Good, yeah.
You're good?
Excellent.
You agree with this?
I think it looks really good. I like the way it put together in there.
Okay. Brad, you did an awesome job.
Oh, thank you.
I think.
Absolutely.
And this is, I know it's not easy to step this up. It's not the most interesting stuff.
I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. Now, I learned a lot more than I ever cared to learn. I guess it's good for somebody in my position, but it's still a lot of work, and I appreciate what you guys do. With that, I will, I guess, then entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So?
I'll take.
Okay, you can go.
Commissioner Dirksen, I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Jensen. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Aye, sir. All right. Then, with that, we can go ahead and look at taking the motion for recommendation. Commissioner Jensen?
Yes, I move that the Planning Commission adopts, or that we adopt, findings and conclusions contained in attachment 4, and recommend that the Monroe City Council approve the proposed amendments to Monroe Municipal Code Title 15, Buildings and Construction, Title 17, Subdivisions, Title 18, Planning and Zoning, and Title 20, Environment, as identified in attachment 4.
Where did you read that from?
It was on our cover sheet, our action.
Yeah, okay.
We usually have it nicely written for us.
Is that acceptable? That was not per the staff recommendation, Part E of the attachment 4?
That's fine, yes.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then we'll take that recommendation, or that...
Motion.
Second by Commissioner Stanger. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Four, Mr. Sparrow.
How many is Sparrow?
Four. He told me every hour 15. So.
I'll take those 4 minutes. Have a good night. Thanks.
Old business,
right, so I'm going to tell you what's in the only change to the draft ordinance since the last meeting. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and I'm going to talk to you why after I did it, I realized it's not going to work. So we had talked a little bit about, okay, so we're talking specifically about the East Downtown Borland Park neighborhood. The code right now says 20 units per acre. So to incentivize higher density, the discussion last time was, well, if you go higher and you set back the upper floors, we'll give you a little bit more density. So I played around with this, okay, base density 35 feet or less, you get 20 units per acre. If you go four stories, and the 10 feet was just a number that I came up with, but I think it'll work. 10 feet, you get 22 units per acre. If you go five stories, you have to set the fourth and fifth stories back 10 feet, and you get you 24 dwelling units per acre. So the higher you go up, the more density you get, provided you step the building, the fourth and fifth stories back. Okay, now it hit me that the fault in, well, there's a little loophole here, is suppose you only want to build it 20 units per acre and go five stories. What this says is to get the additional density, you have to step back. But if I only want to go at the base density of 20 units per acre, the way I have it written right now, it doesn't say you can't. At 20 units per acre, it doesn't require stepping back at a fourth and fifth floor.
So somehow I pictured that the stepping back was simply a requirement of having a fourth and or a fifth floor, regardless of the density.
Right.
Just because of the look and feel kind of thing.
And so,
at least that's our thought.
Commissioner Christensen was here a little early, so we had talked about this.
Yeah, my thought was if you tie it, and it's kind of like what you just said, if we tie it rather than to density, but tie it to the building height, then they can't get away with that.
Right, regardless of the density.
Regardless of the density, yeah.
That was my impression too, actually.
Yeah.
I just thought we wanted it to look good.
Right.
And that was our thought, I think, in the beginning was if you have a three or four story building or five story building, then you have the setbacks for looks, and it had nothing to do with density. It was not even in my mind at the time.
Okay, then how do you want to incentivize density?
You're right, it's a good question. Because this is not
well, the incentivize of density, I'm sorry.
I didn't.
Yeah. The incentive is built in to the height of the building. The higher the building, the more density you can get. But if you want density of 22 dwellings per acre, then you have to go with four stories for the setback.
So
I'm looking at it from the other direction.
I did. Okay. So if
Commissioner Sanger, did you have?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I don't. It looks like to me, it's in the four-story example. That's just a 10% increase, right? That's
right.
The five is just 20. So, and so it sounds like regardless of. The more you go up, if we want the setback, then we're really not going to be a lot of density. I don't know that what I'm saying is I don't know that 10 or 20% might be more desirable. But 10, I don't know if that's enough financially for anybody to.
Yeah, I'm trying to envision. Let's just
incentivize or whatever.
Take the simplest bit of math here. Let's assume one big building that spans an entire acre, and you have three floors. So somehow you divided this building up across an entire acre, three floors high, to only have 20 units, because that's what the density would allow.
Yeah.
Then to me, if you add a fourth floor, you're gonna get a lot more than two more units to that fourth floor.
Yeah.
And likewise a fifth floor, you're gonna get a lot more than two more units, even with the setback.
Yeah.
So, that part of the math to me doesn't quite.
Doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's like I don't see a developer spending that much money to build the fourth floor if they're only going to get two
two more units per acre.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to incentivize anything.
Because the density at 22 and 24 isn't enough?
I don't think it's enough.
No, I don't think 10%. 10% is definitely not enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what Commissioner Bull has to say because he kind of deals with some of this stuff.
Sometimes it's a bit on a sliding scale too, based on parking spaces. So rather than, you know, if you need 20 units per acre rather than going out, you might have to go up just because you need that additional parking spaces. I don't know if they're, depends on if they want them underneath the building or if they want them out in a parking area. You know what I mean? So that's why.
What is the parking requirement for 20, say 20 dwellings?
I think it was like two or three words or something like that.
Yeah.
At least one minimum bedroom, right? Or was it bedrooms or bedroom people?
I thought it was bedrooms.
It was bedrooms.
Bedrooms. I thought it was like two or three.
But it kind of, let's see.
Per, so if you take two, if you average two, you know, that's 40 parking spots.
It's in the new ordinance.
It could be because we played around with the parking section.
40 is a lot of parking spots. Well, maybe I don't know how much does it take. But it seems like a lot of parking. Well, it seems like you have to kind of almost build a one level of parking.
Something underneath.
Okay, so let's see, what's that? I just want to make sure I know what this number one is.
But if you're going to maximize the number of units, well, but if you build a parking garage on the base unit, that's going to
probably, I would assume they build it underground. They're down.
Yeah.
So that first floor.
Right.
In fact, I suspect with the way the code is, it probably has to be the residential or, you know, retail that's in that one zone on the first floor.
It gets a little dicey, but
I think it's more expensive to build a parking garage on the first floor than it is.
Oh, that's really expensive.
Yeah, so.
So
it's anywhere from 1.5 to 2 spaces per dwelling unit, depending on the number of bedrooms.
So that'd be,
you know, 30 to 40 parking spots
per acre.
I would guess if they're going to go for the high density, they probably would have the smaller units. So let's go with the 30 parking spaces. Because I suspect, if they're going for density, they're not going for
three and
four bedroom units.
So how does that affect our thoughts?
It sounds like you're going to be about 20, no matter what you do. I don't know, if you increase the density, you got to increase parking. You can go up, but it seems like anything below four levels isn't going to be complicated. It's going to be anything else that you do. But anyway, I don't see a lot of five level park complexes here.
No, I don't see that either.
I think they let us know that five stories requires a elevator. Isn't that the guidance that you gave us?
Well, I'm trying to remember what we wrote.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
They're expensive, too.
And remember, if you go above 35 feet in downtown, and the way it's written right now, it has to be mixed use.
Right.
You go up to 35 feet, either all commercial or all residential, but to get to the 55, it has to be a mixed use building. So you might as well count on at least one floor being, probably ground floor being non-residential.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so either they have four floors, and by three floors they have residents.
Yeah. But it just seems like at that you're only gonna get a 10% increase. And
maybe that's where the cost of, if they do want to excavate for parking, where they say, well, I can't do it unless there's certain amount of density that they can get out of the space. And I don't know what that formula would be. There's probably some threshold, and they say, okay, now we can do it. We can get X number of units in that space.
A lot of comfort improvement.
Yeah.
So we have the issue of how do we tie the setbacks to the height of the building?
I think I got that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got that now.
I don't know how you incentivize.
There you go.
Okay. At this point.
I think it's just if they can make more money, that they do it. Like how we, you know, whether that's something we can really control, I think we just kind of put out there the options, and if it's something they can make money, they'll do it. That's their incentive, because they'll make more money.
Also, you know, with a setback on a rooftop garden, that could be a big money thing to incentivize somebody to do that too. Because then you'd have your, today it's a real big thing to have the top, what's it called?
Penthouse or whatever.
The top floor of the building with a garden. But yeah, it's major. And they go for a big bucks. So maybe the developer would want to come down.
It's obviously facing the river, not facing the junkyard. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. No windows towards the junkyard.
But I guess my thing is we're trying to set a number.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems like we could say 24. But I don't think there's really going to be any
well,
more.
What was your thinking?
Well, on the 22-24,
yeah.
I just took within the range that was talked about last time at the last meeting.
I thought we wanted more than 24. Wasn't that what we were wanting?
35?
I thought it was pretty high, but it looks like 24 is going to be about it.
Because we'd established that the Housing Hope, the three-story Housing Hope buildings, that was 20 per acre.
That whole site.
Right. Yeah. And where do they do parking? They have a little bit under the units.
Both, yeah.
Yeah, they have outside parking.
Like a garage in under the unit, and a space in front of the garage.
Right.
But it's not excavated in a big mess. It's just poor concrete.
I can play around with this a little bit more. I mean, now we're just down to those numbers.
But I like the idea of tying the setback to the height.
Yeah, so the way it is basically, the way I rewrite it, just to make it clear, is that anything above 35 feet has to be step back, period.
Yeah, right.
And then the density is.
I think we also mentioned too, didn't we, about the design portion of the downtown would have that built in.
Right.
So as far as the design, what we want the design to be.
Right. Yeah. And actually, that's already written in the code.
Yeah.
It makes it cross references back to a set of design standards.
Right. Okay.
That actually talk about stepping back upper floors. But this one makes it more clear that it's an actual requirement rather than something to be negotiated.
Good. Okay.
All right.
It sounded like the suggestion maybe 20-24-28 instead of 20-22-24 would be 20%.
Yeah,
I think that would, and let them fret over the parking aspect. If they have a way to make it work.
It's all on how they want it.
Yeah.
The developer wants to make his money.
Give them the options and let them figure it out.
Yeah. So here's the design criteria.
Is there code allowance for a two-level parking? Does the city allow two-level parking? Parking garage type setup?
Well, I would allow
Actually, something in the city code allowing a prohibited man.
Code tends to encourage underground parking, but someone did some structured parking. If someone did structured parking, that'd be a pretty good sign of just how much the market could actually support something like that. All right.
Quick question, could somebody, say if they were near the downtown, and they wanted to build, you know, some people complain there's not enough parking downtown. If somebody wanted, I don't know, the Monroe supports this yet, or if somebody wanted to build a paved parking structure, and then have part of that parking structure available to an adjoining residential unit, would that work to cover the required parking?
I'd have to look. I've actually done that.
That almost places. Be like an accessory parking area to this.
So a builder wants to actually make money on downtown parking.
Right.
And they want to tie that to whatever their residential parking.
Building this money for either underground or multi-level parking instead of just only for the residents. They add more spaces and sell them.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Downtown Seattle would make a fortune.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the mineral is ready for it yet, but just thought the concept.
Well, in our zoning matrix, it calls out parking lots standalone, but it doesn't say parking garage. I don't know if that parking lot standalone is a parking garage.
Although I think nobody's ever thought of
it. Do they call it usually parking structure, or what do they call those?
Either parking structure or parking garage.
Yeah, we don't have,
not a parking lot.
See, I think the parking, I think what you're talking about is actually here in the downtown zoning matrix. Parking lots stand alone, conditional use permit. So I would say that if I was a developer and I built a parking structure, and I'd be okay with a garage, it'd be a parking lot. And if I, actually I'd encourage this, but if I, built like a two-level parking structure, and I needed like 10 of the 100 spaces for myself, but then I either leased out the other 90, that would require a conditional use permit.
Okay.
But it's not an unusual idea. When I was at Auburn, the city, when Sound Transit built that like six-story parking garage, the city negotiated like one floor for the city itself, and what we did is, these developers built in downtown, we let them lease out. We leased out parking spaces that the city owned to the developers to let them build their project. So if someone wanted to do that, to me, that would be great because you take maybe one property in the downtown, you build a parking garage, and that rather than every developer trying to figure out how they provide parking on 6-7 sites, if they could buy into a pre-built garage, that'd be fine with me.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think the residents would like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that could allow the higher density.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have requirements that you can lease spaces, but it has to be within a certain distance. I think like 500 feet or something like that. But so it has to be reasonable. I mean, we have to expect someone's going to use it for the development. But we had structured parking downtown. That'd be a good sign to me. Something's happening.
Curious, I don't know if I'm here or not for it, but right now they're all set up as conditional.
Right.
Somebody reminded me that we had a more condition.
Was it?
I think it's just to avoid too much area getting paved over because somebody doesn't want to do anything else. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And also so they can get approval.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. To do it. If they wanted to, they could.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just curious. I don't know how they should have done it. Okay, so I'm good with
what I needed to get for that. Were we going to do anything on 18.12?
If you want to, you can. I'm
I don't know if you wanted to do anything on there or not. I just got it tonight.
Oh, there's no changes in there from probably the last three or four meetings, four or five meetings?
I would still like, personally, I'd like to go through and make an amendment.
Okay, that's fine.
If you go through it.
Yeah, I mean, if everyone could take a look at it ahead of time, that'd be great.
I would like to digest it a little bit from the last one. I don't know why, the red line, I guess, is easier to read, the last one was, I think it was just black and white.
Yeah, we can.
It's not as easy to.
I'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting. In fact, it is on the agenda for the next meeting, kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, I'm having issues with this right now.
Okay, anything else on old business?
No, that got what I needed.
You got what you needed there? Okay, commissioners, anything? Then the next item is the new business, future planning commission agenda items. Director Ozaki?
Well, I'm having issues with this, so I figure out how to get this to work. I actually don't need to bring it up on the screen, but in your packet, there's, one of the items that kind of been talked about was preparing an extended agenda for the planning commission. It's not binding or anything like that, it's just, here are the future planning commission meeting dates, and plugging in what at this point in time we think might actually fit into those dates, just so that you and the public has a chance to know what's happening. So this is purely information. And, no source found. So I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull this up on the screen. So hopefully you have an attachment one to the agenda bill. That's it. And it's draft, it has draft written all over it. Hopefully I'll write a copy of it.
Got it.
Okay.
Yes.
And all it is going to identify the future meeting dates and what we think is going to be on the agenda at that point in time. So there's nothing you really need to do other than, if you have any suggestions or comments on the format or anything like that, let us know. Don't get caught up on the preliminary agenda items in this particular example, this is just an example. But the idea would be for you and the public just to give you an idea of what's coming at you in the future, and that's all. And I think Bridget had, the council does something like this, although this is a little more elaborate because they got a whole bunch more agenda items. So they kind of look out maybe 6 weeks out in advance of what's coming. And I think Bridget had asked, can we do something like this for the planning commission? So this is a first run at it. If you have any comments, you can either email me in or just let me know now or let me know at the next meeting. At the next meeting, I'll try to plug in what I actually think might actually be on those agendas for those days. For now, I just kind of picked a bunch of topics and just kind of threw things in there. So that's it on this particular item. Does the format work? The very bottom, it just says, this is when the commission meets. The very top, it says, and part of this is for the public. It's tentative, it's informational, subject to change. Call the community development department if you want to confirm what the items are. Agenda packets are available online if you want to look at them. And then here are the dates, here are some of the preliminary agenda items. And at the bottom again, it just says, these are when the main dates are. So I don't need to final this up today, just give us some thoughts and comments over the next couple of weeks, that's all.
Commissioner Jensen?
Yes, I love this format, I love the whole concept. Is there something we could kind of establish that would predictably say how far out it would go? Like, would it always go out 3 months or 4 months ahead?
Oh, well.
Rather than being something that's just kind of like.
Let me know.
I mean, so I just wondered, yeah, that might be something to try to almost like lock down or be able to put to say this is the next X period of time and it always keeps that far ahead where possible.
That's fine. That's fine with me. I mean, once you get beyond a certain time, it's almost. I mean, who knows what happens after like
3 months, maybe 2 months.
The other suggestion might be 3 months.
3 months, yeah. So we have November, December. It looks like, yeah, we got November, December, January, and February. We don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So maybe 3 months would be good. It might be useful, although not necessary here, if we have extra meetings, if we had to have those, you know, like we did last year with the comp plan, some way to identify it clearly that this is not a regular second or fourth Monday meeting. This is something extra that's been added so people can recognize that if they're looking at this.
And that's doable. Yeah, you could actually just put a special meeting within that first column.
Something.
Yeah.
And then finally, just, I know you said don't worry too much about what's on here. I'm just curious, it, you know, it was like, kind of had things discussing downtown code amendments, and then nothing until we got to January, and suddenly it's public hearing downtown code amendments. Just thinking about what's on here, do you see the need for additional meetings to keep ahead of work? I mean, did we really want to get all the way to January before we got to that public hearing? You know, we started downtown hoping we could get through it quickly, and it seems
yeah.
like it's taken us about 9 months.
It has, and part of the issue, once we get these finalized, I have to go through a CEPA process and a state notification process, and then I'm not reluctant to hold hearings in November and December, but it's right. It would be November, December before we got to a hearing, and
okay.
I'm just thinking, I wouldn't say people tune out as much, but I think they do tune out a little bit around November and December.
Well, if the only other planned meeting for our discussion of the downtown code amendments is November 14th, I'm hoping that the maps will be updated by then as well.
Yeah, see, we got the 14th, we got the 28th, and so I'm just...
Okay,
yeah.
You have it written in for the 28th, so I wasn't sure.
No, like I said, the content is just filler. I was just like sitting there thinking of all these different
okay.
topics and just putting dates in.
Okay.
The dates are fairly firm.
Yeah.
But the content isn't. So yeah, comments like that going on 3 months, actually that kind of works out better because it doesn't look as crowded. And then there's only one other item I want to talk about on this chart, but.
There's one thing I hate to bring up, but it's been on the back burner for a long time and has a sign for it.
Oh.
I sure come.
We just got our sign, so don't worry. I don't know, worry about that.
Well, it's been sitting in limbo,
yeah.
And we put a lot of work into it. And I hate to see it just sit there. I would like to see that. I'd like to see that done. And
can't get into it too much, but I expect that to come this way soon. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put something in your next packet. It's a Supreme Court case. And it's, yeah, I expect that to come through within the next 6 months,
okay.
easily.
Okay.
Maybe not entirely now, but there's certain things we need to do.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to, I know it's a sore subject, but it's something that, personally, you know, I've been here 7, 8 years now. And it's been around at least that long, not longer. So
has it been around that long?
Well,
I don't know.
It keeps coming back. You know, we went through it, I know at least twice in those years. But this last one, I know the city council never finished it. So I thought we're supposed to come back to us to fix.
And we paid somebody for getting money to do this.
Yeah, let me
and they did. I thought they did a good job with the tables, but still, it was still not. Was a problem with enforcement. I remember
yeah.
that. And I was ready to take my pickup truck to go help pick up.
Talk about it. I can snatch signs. That's the thing to be
done. In fact, there's a mayor who told me I can't do that. So I can remember.
Can I add one other comment about the format? Public hearings, if there'd be some way to make that stand out. So if there's somebody looking at it.
Yeah,
just something to kind of say, hey, pay attention, these are ones you really should be, you
or
know.
Or capitalize it.
Yeah, just bold it. Yeah.
How's it now?
Yeah.
It's oh, yeah, I could bold it or capitalize it. Or
yeah,
bold.
Yeah.
Okay,
bold.
We'll or play with all that, yeah.
That one there, in my mind, that one there would probably be one in December, the permit processing code should bring a lot of attention. I think the public would be interested in permit processing.
Only if they've ever tried to get a permit.
Well, who hasn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like the sign code was redone in 14.
Yeah.
That's pretty recent. That's like 2 years.
Was, yeah. I remember this one for it.
And I might send you a couple articles are included in the next packet about a Supreme Court case last year.
Yeah, please.
That's really turning some of the sign code issues upside down.
If that's the case, then we definitely need to look at it.
We do.
So, First Amendment kind of things? Or the Supreme Court case? Probably something about can't restrict certain things and signs, or how do you use signs and so on. So
it's almost.
Freedom of speech?
Yeah. Probably borderline or something.
Okay, so it's almost. Really not prepared to talk about it, but let me give you an example. The way it reads, and it's always one of those cases where the attorneys always, different attorneys are interpreting it differently, but you shouldn't, if you're going to enforce a, you shouldn't have to read the content of a sign in order to enforce it.
So just the size and type of sign.
Size and type of sign.
Okay.
So, in some ways, I think just about every jurisdiction in the country is trying to figure this out now. So,
yeah.
It almost becomes a point where real estate signs aren't called out as real estate signs. Real estate signs don't have their own set of rules compared to political signs.
Probably because of lobbyists. There's a lot of real estate agents out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you almost see this is okay. So let me give you an example because I'm still trying to get my head around this. I was looking at a different example of another city, and so what they're saying is, if you have a house for sale, you're allowed one more sign on your lot. But it doesn't say if you have a house for sale, you're allowed one more real estate sign. It's saying you can have one more sign on your lot. So you're not even focusing on content. Okay, I'm selling my home.
So you can sell, offer your home for $10 million. Nobody will ever buy it, but now you can put another sign on.
Yeah, you know, so that's exactly what I was thinking about. I put my house for sale, and then I could have like a extra little sign on there that says something totally different.
Yep. Because it doesn't have to be listed with the broker. It could be just Zillow, make me an offer, right?
That's right.
Yeah, or it could say
it's for sale.
I listed on Craigslist, but nobody's responding.
And I don't know how far this is going to go, but it's almost like, okay, I can pretend my house is for sale, and then I can put an extra sign up that says, buy Legos at Steve's store.
It says what?
Buy Legos at Steve's store. It has nothing to do with real estate.
Yeah.
So it's getting really complex. I mean, that's really how complex it's getting.
You just can't put your house for sale by putting a sign on that says for sale, because that's your sign.
Yeah. Well, no, the idea is...
You don't want to waste your sign on saying the words for sale.
So it has to do with content. It
has to do with content. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have to read a sign to enforce it.
Yeah.
And so how much of our sign code says political signs? Real estate signs.
Garage sales.
Directional signs.
Right.
Yeah, things like that.
So we're restricted to size and shape.
Actually, well, put in your next
Yeah, we can restrict size, shape, type of sign.
Lights, yeah.
Yeah.
Number two.
Right, the number of signs. You know, I think what I'll do is there's one city that's kind of ahead of the curve in trying to deal with this. It's Covington. And I was actually looking at their sign code. They have a public hearing tomorrow night on their interim zoning regulations. They're still trying to figure this out. We'll put that in your next packet.
Okay.
It has a little staff report and things like that.
That sounds interesting.
What is wrong?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So on this, then the last item I just want to point out on this draft preliminary agenda items is there's a, my gut feeling is unless anyone really feels otherwise, we'll probably just have one meeting in December.
I agree.
Second meeting in December falls the day after Christmas.
One of the busiest months of the year, so it's good to be.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll probably do either the last meeting in December, or maybe the first meeting in January. Probably do what we did last year, just have kind of a informal get together, kind of hammer out our work plan for next year.
Yeah, look at our successes and.
Yeah, and then probably do what we did last year, have the mayor come.
Nice. Well, if we did that in January, I see you've got election of officers, so that would be kind of a light type of a meeting. Get that done at the same time.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't drink, but I say bring alcohol so you can elect people.
So it's going to depend on if we can clear out, if we have a hearing like in January on these downtown code amendments, we may not. It'll either be the, like the last meeting in December or first meeting in January. We'll do something like that. Okay, so no meeting the 26th, which is good, because City Hall is closed at 26th.
Okay.
Because I think Christmas is a Sunday, so we celebrate Christmas on Monday.
First meeting in January, a public hearing.
Yeah, I was just playing around with all that, so.
Okay.
But I would expect a hearing on the code amendments for downtown sometime in January, maybe the second meeting.
Okay.
So when this is all firmed up, it'll also be your guide for public notices. But there's, if you have it in bold, a public hearing, then your staff will know when to send out a public notice.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. And this will be posted in.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll just put it in every one of your packets, and then we can figure out other ways to.
But this could also be posted out on
your. Yeah, we can do that. As long
put it online.
Replace it every week. Yeah, and then the other, I was also thinking of putting it, I'm not sure how many hits we get on the Planning Commission portion of the website, but other jurisdictions put it right there on the Planning Commission page.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
What I was saying is out here is a lot of people come in and out of here and they spot this on the wall and they say, oh, I might want to attend that public hearing.
Yeah, either attend it or at least they know what you're working on.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Wait, we're not
here. It's a good thing that you did here, David. I like it a lot.
Well, I think it wasn't my idea. Actually, I think a couple of planning commissioners brought it up, so.
Well, whoever's idea was, thanks for doing it. Anything else on?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, then I'll move to discussion by commissioners and staff. Ms. Stephanie, you have any special announcements?
No.
No. Okay. Recommendation, David?
I just have a few things.
So, I think a couple meetings ago I mentioned there's two state planning organizations, professional planners, and they get together once a year to do a joint awards program.
Mm-hmm.
They have like five or six categories, and so Monroe was a winner in citizen involvement for the comprehensive plan. And so this week there's a state planning conference where they recognize Monroe and the other winners
at the state planning conference, but since we don't have anyone going to the state planning conference, what they said they're willing to do is send one of the jurors out to Monroe at some point in time. So I think what we'll have them do is come to a city council meeting and then invite the planning commission to come to that council meeting when one of the jurors comes to the city council meeting to give the city the award. Just heads up for that. I don't know when that'll be though, but actually I think that works out better that they actually come to the jurisdiction to do something.
Yeah.
So the
city. Don't let them come on a day when there's some big hot topic going on at the city council.
I don't think they have.
We'll just get that out of the way first.
Yeah, I could say something, but.
Like, don't
about like last year,
so
some, some of the things on the agenda last year. The city's working on the budget. Council's considering the budget, the mayor's budget. That budget actually has, I forgot the exact number, but maybe about $130,000 set aside to hire a consultant so that we can get caught up on our development regulations or updating the zoning code. Because the comprehensive plan called for changes in zoning, bumping up density like in the mixed use areas and things like that, as well as downtown. And we really, it's going to require some rezoning throughout the entire city, and we need some help right now, some consultant help. So next year I anticipate to be a fairly active year. We get a consultant on board, because then that individual can actually drive a lot of the workload in terms of getting these materials to.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So we'll see, just follow the budget to see if that gets approved. But no one's raised any issues about that so far. I don't think you have met her, but we had one of our senior planners, Shanna, come at one meeting to talk about critical areas, but there's another senior planner, Christy Kyle, and she's been working pretty much on processing a lot of the preliminary plats and the subdivisions that are taking place right now, and you got that map just showing everything in play. So she turned in her resignation, so she's going to be leaving. Monday is her last day to be the planning director at Sultan. Mm-hmm. So I only mention that because we're going to need to focus a lot of resources internally back on the things that she's going to be not being able to finish, which are like plats. And so we're going to be pretty busy on processing these big plats that are coming through right now. So don't be surprised if some, we'll see how that affects your workload or the planning commission workload, but that's just another item going on within the department. And then finally, I talked to Mike Farrow about this, the app that you talked about. I forgot the name of it. Just serve. So I think what Mike said is that on occasion, some organizations from the city call up the city and say, hey, you got any projects that you can use some volunteers for? And so I guess in this particular case,
did you just serve?
Yeah, the church called up the city and said, hey, you got some projects? And then I think the church put it on Just Serve as kind of a volunteer opportunity for people to get involved with. So yeah, Mike likes it. And then he kind of coordinated the plan around it.
You can look up all kinds of things to do.
Yeah, so there must be just a huge list of opportunities.
Yeah, once in a while, I'll see about two or three things from City of Monroe on there. Yep.
So it sounds like different groups do outreach, including the city, to say, hey, what do you got? People can volunteer on. So it works out really well.
Cool.
That is about it.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Jensen.
I was just curious if you've heard anything how soon Carl's Jr. is to open?
I've heard December 1, I've heard December 5, and December 7.
Okay.
So that's to say the first week of December is probably their target date.
Okay.
But whether it opens that day, I don't know.
Nothing else.
They're trying to get ahead of the weather, but the weather's going to turn it down.
I wish it was an In-N-Out burger.
Well, I'm hoping we're open. We should be open by the next meeting, but let's see.
Oh, you're short?
Yeah, we were supposed to do a fire alarm test today. And
okay.
Cranked it up. All we did was move one alarm. So we didn't really think anything of it. But we cranked it up and all the demo and the previous stuff had broken something.
Oh, no.
The whole end of the building has gone.
That's not good.
Not even us, but you know, beyond us, the next this is over, it doesn't go either, so it's like, oops.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope everything goes well.
Yeah.
Your target is still November 5th?
Yes.
Commissioner Gerson?
Yeah, I got a couple things. First, we had discussed a little while back about the Dell property. Has anybody decided they wanted to rent that? We talked about...
So, actually, in the amendments that you passed or recommended for approval tonight,
right,
there is the amendment that talks about motorsports only.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still interested in the property,
yeah. Okay.
But they need that code change in order to go in there.
Okay. All right. And then the other thing is, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but over by Fred Meyer, there's a sign that's, and there were trees blocking it at the time, but there was a sign... It's either the Italian restaurant or it's a Riley's, and all of a sudden it starts flashing, all the just like a strobe light. It starts flashing. It's dark out, and all of a sudden I'm happen to be riding, not driving, and all of a sudden I go, "What's that?" And it just for about 30 seconds it flashes in a strobe, and I'm going, "That is distracting."
Yeah.
Who's that associated with?
It's either the Italian restaurant sign or the O'Reilly sign over on that little area there. There were trees that were blocking me, so I couldn't tell which sign it was.
So are you saying it's on the building itself?
Well, it's not on the building. It's a freestanding. I think it's one of the freestanding signs. And I don't know if it was a fluke, because I'd never seen that before, but it was about 2 weeks ago. And it was flashing like a strobe after it was dark.
Because okay. O'Reilly's is...
Quite a difference
from the sky. Yeah, those are really far
away. We were driving towards Walmart that way. And all the leaves were still on the trees, and I couldn't tell which of the two signs was making that grow.
I think it
could have been them too. One of those signs over there is strobing.
Yeah, that night. Anyway, that's against the code.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it's very, very distracting. So
yeah, there's not.
So, yeah. I didn't know if anybody else had noticed that. I've only noticed that one night 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it was a fluke or something, but there was a sign over there that was going nuts.
It's a little dicey driving to the Monroe S curves anyway.
Especially if there's a big truck going up.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It was before the stoplight going into Fred Meyer's sign.
On the right side.
Yes.
Yeah, but good year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't gone by there again since then after dark, so I haven't been able to tell. But it freaked me out at first.
Yeah.
Like, is there a siren? Is there a, I mean, but no, it was one of the signs.
Yeah. It might be one of the
The Verizon signs.
Yeah.
The Verizon.
The Verizon.
It was up high enough where I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Because all the leaves were on the trees still on that side. And one of them was strobing, and I asked my husband, Lynn, I said, "Did you see which sign that was?" He said, "I couldn't tell because of all the leaves on the trees."
Yeah.
But it was strobing.
I'll go drive out there and go home.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember where O'Reilly's is.
Yeah, I don't think O'Reilly's. Just thinking about going to Walmart.
Yeah.
And then
it's a little past the corner.
Yeah.
It's more towards.
You pass Payless Shoes and then kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was around the
corner and see what you see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see what and who's going. Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. You gotta be curious.
Yeah.
Well, we're following each other tonight, right?
that's all I have is it was.
Commissioner Bull.
Just had a question since David mentioned the budget. Permitting software, are you going to throw that in?
No, not this year. No. I'm thinking that might be a next year thing.
Yep.
We're still doing research on that.
So you have to buy the software and then you have to, rent a programmer to integrate it with your city system?
Well,
there's probably a lot of out-of-the-box stuff, but I bet you have to customize some things, probably.
Yeah, you know, just to kind of give you some more things, just to kind of look at your own time, I'm going to just kind of write down mybuildingpermit.com. I'm going to send you a link to something. And
mybuildingpermit.com?
There's a variety of different cities that have all kind of tried to standardize all their procedures, all their processes, all their handouts. And when we had a meeting with the builders and development committee, loves it. Because it's like a portal that you go through, you submit your permits through there. And there are differences between different jurisdictions, but it really tries to marry up everybody's kind of information and all of those types of things for a variety of different jurisdictions, so that if I'm someone that deals with a variety of different jurisdictions, I begin to recognize things that are fairly consistent. So I'm not like filling out a different application here, a different application form in this jurisdiction. And so I forgot how many cities are part of this consortium, but there's quite a few. And the Builders and Development Committee loves it. And so the comment we got as part of the stakeholder committee was, it'd be great if you could join that consortium. But we're not sure our permit software really has the capabilities that allow us to join that consortium. So we've been taking a look at our permit software, because a lot of it has to deal with being able to make applications for permits online, requesting inspections online. It's kind of the 24/7 concept.
You have to have some set up on your site to get all that.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of a 24/7 concept. And you can have different types of permit software that'll do that. Ours tends to be one of the more difficult ones that we're still kind of hashing out. Will it work or not work?
Question then, on this permit processing code amendment thing that we're going to be going through, couldn't that be part of it? If we're going to go through that, it'd be nice to have, if you're looking at doing any software type of stuff, to try and take that into consideration as we're going through the code amendment?
I don't think you have to, because I think
I didn't say we had to, I'm just saying, would it be something that you might want to think about?
A little bit. Actually, some of those code amendments for permit processing are in those ordinances we talked about a couple meetings ago.
Yeah.
And part of the idea behind there is to try to make some of our processes and timelines consistent. Not necessarily intentionally, but intentionally, we're trying to make it more consistent with some of the other jurisdictions. Ours are much longer in certain processes. In terms of timelines, it might be a week here or a week there, but by the time you need to add all these up, it's quite a bit. So, you know, I think at least the philosophy is there with these ordinances, is that we're trying to be relatively consistent with timelines that the developer might expect throughout the region. The nexus or linkage to the permit software, I guess you can think about it, but they don't have to be tied together.
Anything else, Commissioner?
Nothing else, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner Snyder? Anything? I don't have anything, except if we're going to talk about signs. I mentioned years ago, there's still not a stop sign at the end of 147. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that or not. If you go down 147 into the industrial park, you get past the down 147, they hit that, I can't remember what cross street that is, but it's by the church, and there's no stop sign there. So I just, there's no yield sign, no stop sign, no nothing. So, but it's a T, so there should be something. So, I don't know, again, we talked to you, but it's been years that I mentioned that, but nothing's ever. Anyway, that's all the only thing I had.
You can write that down.
Got it.
Then we'll ask Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so moved.
Moved by Commissioner Dirksen.
Second
by Commissioner Bolt. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0.
Great, thank you very much.